Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Spring is here, and the weather over the past week in Southern Oregon has been fantastic. I even had the chance to enjoy clear blue skies and temperate weather during a recent road trip to Mount Shasta and Redding. But we all know what's lurking around the corner. Summer. And with increasing summer heat comes an increase in the threat of wildfires. California has released a new color-coded wildfire hazard map to identify areas of the state at high risk. The color coding places California residents in varied risk levels, depending on the zone in which they live. We welcome your thoughts by email at jx@jeffnet.org. Joining the exchange to help us learn more is Chief Jim McDougall. He's the Assistant Deputy Director over Community Wildfire Preparedness and Risk Reduction at CAL FIRE. Welcome, Chief.
How are you today?
I'm doing great. Now, before we dive into these questions about the new wildfire hazard map, tell us a little bit about you. You started out as a firefighter, didn't you?
Absolutely. In 1994, so I've been in worked for CAL FIRE seasonally and permanently for the last 31 years.
Well, how'd you go from firefighter to where you are now? You're the Assistant Deputy Director over Community Wildfire Preparedness and Risk Reduction. Now, that's a mouthful. I'll just call you Chief.
Yeah, absolutely. But I've always throughout my career had a passion for wildfire mitigation. You know, we do a lot, and we're really great at fire suppression. But you know, the work we need to do before fires happen is equally, or maybe even more important, about development communities and doing fuels reduction and really setting up communities to be prepared for wildfire, and thus setting up firefighters to be successful when there is a fire, to have these fuel breaks or hardened communities that they can defend.
Well, tell me about your journey. How did you move through the ranks?
Yeah, I started as a firefighter and then promoted to engineer and captain, and then early 2000s, I promoted to battalion chief, and I was in charge of pre-fire planning for the southern region, which is, unit fire plans, building community resiliency, planning fuels reduction projects, and prescribed fire. And then I was helped develop the department's home hardening program, the CWMP, the California Wildfire Mitigation Program, where the state is the joint powers authority between CAL FIRE and Cal OES, where we're actually hardening homes. So we're going in and assessing communities and doing retrofits on homes and doing home hardening. So she kind of started that program and then continued to move up and oversee those programs on a statewide level.
So for more than 30 years, this has been your life.
Absolutely.
Well, you're the perfect person to tell us about California's wildfire hazard map.
Yeah. I have a lot of experience in that, for sure. And I think it's a key point. You say, folks do confuse hazard and risk, and our maps are definitely hazard maps. And really the difference there is hazard is the potential and likelihood of fire, and really the intensity as well. When you get to risk, you need to know the vulnerability of the structure or the asset that the fire is going to impact. So while you can have areas that are fire very high hazard, you can actually have communities and homes within those areas that are at a low risk because they implement defensible space, depending on the building construction and how homes are built. So while we create these zones, it's important to understand that what you do on your parcel and at your home, you can actually have a reduced risk even in a very high hazardous area.
Well, tell me about these color-coded zones.
Yeah, so what we do is, it's a science-based model, and it takes in many, many factors, such as fire behavior, existing and potential fuels. So we look at climax fuels, the worst fuels, predicted flame lengths, moving, transporting embers, blowing embers, and we move to a more localized fire weather data in this new model. And so the two things we do kind of right out the gate is we break up the lands in California as wild land and non-wild land. And non-wild land areas would be completely developed communities that, you know, are just solid houses, agriculture, water, barren soils. So really those things that don't have a likelihood to really carry fire. And so as we do that, then we mentioned this new ember model that we use. We take the embers being created by the wildland that's adjacent to the non-wildland, and then based off the ember load from the vegetation type and the weather and the direction of the wind and the speed of the wind, and we calculate where those brands are going to land in these non-wildland areas, really showing where embers are going to land in a community from their adjacent wildland, because we know those have a hazard. But we are not using a fire spread model in the urban environment. Those are models are still being developed, so we don't have one of those in ours. But what we're really trying to do is look at where embers are going to land so people know to have their defensible space.
So is there some predictability factor?
Excuse me?
Is there some predictability factor?
Yeah, probability. Yeah, the probability. Okay. Yeah. So what we look at is fire history, you know, the how many times an area burn and get the fire probability. We use that in the model as well.
Yep. Okay. And so when someone looks at this map, we're on radio, so give me a description. When someone looks at this map, what are they going to see?
Yeah, so you're going to see a bands of colors, and typically you see things from the red, which is very high, orange, which is high, and then yellow, which is moderate. So when you get in that urban environment, if the adjacent wildland is very high, you'll have a band of high or very high, high and moderate into the urban environment, showing the reduction of the ember load as you get further from the wildland. So it's everything zoned into three colors, and it usually, the majority of the places will always have an area very high, and then they will zone out. But when you get in areas that are like oak woodlands with annual grasses, those areas are typically either zoned high or moderate. It's those brush-covered lands. It's those emergence, that are typically in the very high.
My guest is Chief Jim McDougall. He's the Assistant Deputy Director over Community Wildfire Preparedness and Risk Reduction at CAL FIRE. We're talking about California's wildfire hazard map. So, Chief, what's the impact to homeowners and other residents that are living in areas of high, as you said, you didn't say risk, but
yeah,
high hazard.
Sure,
areas?
Sure. And these maps are, like I said, are developed really for mitigations and where mitigations apply. So if you live in the very high fire hazard severity zone and you're going to build a new home, it would have to be built to our building code chapter 7A, which is higher standard for building construction using ember resistant materials and has requirements for vents and a class A roof. So your building standards is one piece and very high. And you also need to build to the California Fire Safe Regulations, which is your clearances, your road accesses, your water supplies, and then you're required to have defensible space. In the high zone, in the local responsibility area, you're required to build the Chapter 7A. And then currently in moderate, there's no requirements for any mitigations in the local responsibility area.
Okay, so we're talking about if you're building a home. What if you already live there?
Correct.
The map,
yeah, if you live there, in the very high, you'd be required to do defensible space.
Okay, what is defensible space?
Yeah, so it's that 100 feet around your home, and it's broke up into three zones. We look at the ember resistant zone, which is between 0 and 5 feet. And California is currently developing the regulation for that. So right now we just have recommendations. But for the recommendations are to not have any flammable material within 5 feet of your home. No shrubs, no mulch, no bark, and even trash cans. Those are flammable and will catch fire from embers. And another really important piece is a lot of folks have fences around their homes, but that first 5 feet from the home, you want to be non-combustible, because we've seen through research that we do that fences will catch on fire, and then as that fence burns, actually ignite the home because the home is connected to the fence. And then from 5 to 30 feet is that fuel reduction zone, where you need to have spacings of your vegetation. You know, keep your wood piles out of that, out in that 30 feet or further. And then the 100 feet is really reduced fuels, where you just have good spacing between your trees and all your annual vegetation weed-eated down or mowed down to 4 inches.
What's the population estimate that lives in these high-hazard zones?
I don't have that number, so it's very interesting. In California, there's the state responsibility area where CAL FIRE is responsible for fire protection. And in the state responsibility area, all fire hazard severity zones require defensible space. And there's about 750 to 800,000 homes in the state responsibility area that are required to have defensible space.
So when you say they're required, yes. What if a homeowner, or I'm assuming renter as well, if they don't have the resources to sure. comply, what happens then?
Yeah, we really work with folks, and even our department puts out grants to the California Fire State Council that assist those homeowners that either, you know, elderly or can't do it. And so we have some programs to assist those folks in completing their defensible space.
Well, how do you determine whether or not a homeowner is in compliance? Who's going out and monitoring this, sure. and how frequently?
Yeah, CAL FIRE has inspectors, and we try to get to a third of the homes in the state responsibility every year. So we do about 250 to 280,000 inspections a year. We work with local cooperators, our fire safe councils, FireWise communities, resource conservation districts, and we actually train them to be assessors, where they can go out in their own communities and really educate their neighbors on the importance of defensible space. And they're trained to the same standards as our folks to provide that education to the public. So we're really all about educating the public and working with people because we know the importance of defensible space.
Well, where can people go online to get that education?
Absolutely. So best place to go is to our department's website at fire.ca.gov, CAL FIRE, www.fire.ca.gov, and there's a prepare page. You can also go to our Office of the State Fire Marshal page, and it has all the things related to home hardening and those things you can do. Low-cost retrofit list, items people can harden their homes that really are not overly expensive. They can kind of, we have checklists where people can evaluate their homes and kind of on their own figure out how they want to pace out hardening their homes.
So if people go through this checklist and they realize, okay, uh-huh. this is beyond my budget, what do they sure. do?
Yeah, I think, you know, people just, there is grant programs, like I mentioned. And we're seeing more of those. We will be releasing sometime within this year defensible space home hardening grants. Such a new thing that's coming out, as well as some of our other programs that we already do. So,
what's the average amount of those grants, and what do you think it costs to do this home hardening?
So home hardening, depending on the retrofits of your home, our home hardening program that we have pays up to $40,000 to harden people's homes. So we really don't have great numbers yet. We have started hardening homes over about the last 2.5 years. And I think we've done somewhere between 30 and 50 homes now, but we're just starting to get what that really cost and what those retrofits cost. So that's a very important piece that you bring up that we're working on.
Okay, well, I appreciate that, Chief. Thanks. That's all the time we have, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, it's been great visiting with you and your today, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, thanks for the work that you do. My guest was Chief Jim McDougall. He's the Assistant Deputy Director over Community Wildfire Preparedness and Risk Reduction at CAL FIRE. I'm Mike Green.